What could possibly prompt a mom working full-time, raising two kids with ADHD to start blogging about her own experience?
You are listening to Finding Your Brilliance, Episode 3. I'm your host, Catherine Kui. Today, I'm talking with Beth Grushkin. I discovered Beth's amazing blog, Fuzzy Mama, when researching naturopathic remedies for ADHD. Beth is a mother of two boys with ADHD, a Montessori school teacher, and a passionate ADHD advocate.
Hi, Beth.
Yay! I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, this is great. And Beth lives in Chicago, so we met online. And I feel like I know you, even though I don't. I feel like there's a little, because I've had such cool interactions with you.
Same way.
My first real question for you is, how did Fuzzy Mama start? And explain to people, what is Fuzzy Mama? What does that mean exactly?
Well, the name, it's kind of funny, actually, where the name came from. So I met my husband online.
Wow.
And my like online name was actually Fuzzy Bug. And so then I opened an Etsy shop when my second son was newborn. And so I just thought, what am I going to call it? And so I just kind of put, you know, the two together. And so that's how the name came. Mm-hmm. And I have had the blog for a long time, but it was a little bit more of like artsy craftsy stuff, you know, that I did with my kids. Then when my boys got older, I was really overwhelmed with all of this ADHD stuff. Luckily, I have one dear friend who went through similar things with her kids. And so I was able to have someone, you know, who I could say, oh my God, did this ever happen to you? And she'd say, yes. Why? Yes, it did. But I am crazy about finding out why. I wanted to know, why is my son explosive? Why does he get super nervous about math? Why is it so difficult for him to go to sleep? Why? And so I just found all this information and I thought, hey, let me just start to write this down so that it can help me, it can help others. Because, you know, I just really wanted to help other people who were in my same situation or a similar situation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, both of my kids have an ADHD, you know, label, but they could not be more different. It's like, you know, two different ends. So I thought, okay, maybe some of the stuff that I'm learning and trying and doing will help someone else. And so that's just really why I wanted to share.
Do you mind talking about how different your kids are? Like, talk, because I think that's a very fascinating question. And as a psychologist, what I share with parents is, if you've met one kid with ADHD or with autism, you've just met one with ADHD or autism, meaning they're all so different. And so what did you notice that was so different about your boys?
Well, so my oldest son was born early.
Mm.
3.5 weeks early, and just talked full sentences at 14 months. Just smart kid. Yeah, just on the go a lot. I think because he was my first, I didn't know any different. So I never really thought about labeling him or, oh, he's, you know, I just didn't. He was just always, you know, talked a lot and, you know, that was it. My second son was just the opposite. Really, really, really quiet kid. Smart, thoughtful, but just super quiet. So really two different ends.
Okay. Does the oldest have the combined type and the youngest have the inattentive type?
They both have ADHD.
The combined presence.
Yes, which is really interesting to me because I don't really know how my younger son got the H because I just don't know. And is it, you know, because my older son was so active and then, you know, to me, anything else seems not active, maybe.
Oh, right. Maybe you habituated to your oldest, his activity level. And so did teachers give you red flags? Is that how it happened?
No teachers did at all. He was, my oldest was always able to do well in school, you know, preschool, kindergarten, you know, I got all this, you know, he's a great kid. No worries at all. My first red flag was in first grade doing, so he had these math facts, the good old fashioned timed facts. And in his room, this is so ridiculous, they would post where each of them were. So say some kid was on his plus ones and then the other kid was on his plus fours. I kid you not, a bulletin board in the room.
Showing each kid's progress?
Yes.
Oh,
isn't that just like ridiculous?
It is.
I can't even imagine. And I talked with them about it. I said, don't you think you should like take that bulletin board down, you know? But so anyway, it created such anxiety, of course, right, for my son. And I thought, why isn't he getting this? He's a smart kid. Why? It's only math facts. But I would see the like anger almost roll through his body, and he'd get his little fists up, and I didn't understand it. And I was like, what in the world is going on here? And of course, I was like, study harder. You can do this. Come on, this isn't all that hard. You can do it. So I drill him and drill him and drill him, and he wouldn't get him. And I just couldn't understand, why aren't you getting your facts? So that was kind of the beginning of seeing that, okay, maybe there is a little something going on here. But it probably wasn't until third grade where he really became explosive.
Oh, at home and school?
No, not at school at all. He has never been explosive at school at all, but more just the type. And, you know, I think I probably saw it first grade, second grade. He would come home from school exhausted and you know, like a little mean, a little like
on edge.
Yes. And so I think, okay, he's just had a full day, sit on the sofa, chill out, read a book. And so that worked for a long time. Until probably third or fourth grade when I think things just got a little harder. Math got harder. There was writing papers to do. Everything just got a little harder, you know? And so so we tried meds. So we went, you know, got the neuropsych done and everything for him, but we never actually saw that. So it was just, so the neuropsych results were just sent right on to a psychiatrist.
They made the diagnosis.
Yes. And she said, oh, it looks like he's got ADHD without saying anything about why or what the test results were or anything. And then it was just, okay, you know, what do you want to try? Do you want to try Ritalin? And, you know, I remember this big laminated sheet that, you know, she just kind of pushed in front of me. Do you want to try this drug or this drug or this? And so I thought, okay, why don't we just try something? And so that was the first of 2 years, really, going through different medications, trying one upper, one downer, one to make him go to sleep. You know, because when you have one, then it's, well, then he needs help going to sleep. And so then let's take something else to go to sleep. And all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, crazy. And we never saw really results from it. We were, I would say the one he was on the longest was Focalin. He could sit at school and he got really good grades at school. But then he would come home and literally explode. I mean, it was just, every night was just awful. And you could just tell he just could not control himself. It wasn't like he was being a bad kid, but the anger, the anxiety, everything, just that, you know, release. But, you know, we tried several different things and nothing worked.
Well, you know, listening to you talk about the math facts, I think that is something I see over and over, that the rote memorization, and that is something that I test in neuropsych testing, but rote memorization, that's one of the first things that many parents notice for children who struggle to focus. Rote memorization, math facts is like a, it's very often one of the first academic tasks, that as well as writing your name. And so I think that's very interesting. And I think it's sad that the neuropsych testing, it really, you were not guided on how to use those results in a useful way other than medication, which I mean, that's so unfortunate. And, you know, I don't want to fixate on that, but I guess I want listeners to know that if you have your child tested, one of the huge jobs of the evaluator is to guide you through recommendations, not just medication at all. One of the things I want to shift to, though, is asking you about what has helped. What has helped? And you've done a lot of research, so and you're really into naturopathic remedies and supports for kids with ADHD, which I am interested in, too. But tell me, what do you think? What has helped your boys the most?
Well, you know, when they were super small, I think I did a lot of things, you know, that actually really helped that I didn't even realize, you know, that I was actually doing. So one of the things is screens. I kept my kids off screens. They never had a smartphone. And well, I mean, first of all, I didn't even own a smartphone when they were little, but, we hardly had any, they watched hardly anything. And some of that was me kind of reading on, you know, up on it, but it was also me noticing. I mean, I thought it was going to be this big, huge break for me to sit down and watch, you know, Thomas for, you know, 30 minutes. And my kids would zone out. I mean, they would, it would just zombify them. Literally, I would be like, okay, it's over. Let's go do something else. And they could not come back. I mean, it was the strangest thing. And then, so, you know, maybe they were zombies for the 30 minutes. So, you know, I could cook dinner or something. But then after that, it was almost worse because they literally could not go back to just, you know, playing blocks or playing something. They just couldn't. So I really noticed that early on and just said, all right, we are just keeping screens to a minimum.
So when you say they couldn't, many kids get agitated when they go off screens. You're not describing that. You're describing a worsening of focus. Is that what you mean?
Yes. And I really feel, I mean, still to the, still even now, if they have any time on screens, it is in the late afternoon, because if they're on any screen in the morning, they literally cannot like come back into society almost. And then that's all they want to do.
Yes.
When can we watch again? When can I play again? I mean, it's really so that, like, you know, the addiction is real.
It's really real. I love it that you said that. I feel like that's going to be a quote that I use in my Instagram.
That is something that I see over and over and over again that I think parents just do not get, really. I'm like, even now, I'm super, you know, strict about it. So my kids, we have no screens Monday through Thursday, no screens, except if school, you know, because now school, they have screens. But anything else, no video games, no movies, nothing. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they can watch, but it's still very, very monitored. They are on maybe an hour or something.
Nice.
It is not the 4-hour marathon or the 8-hour marathon. But I really do think that that was a huge part of them, you know, when they were littler, being okay for longer period of time. I think if they had had screens when they were 3 and 4, I would have, I don't know.
Tell me, I'm going to see if there's like maybe two other big things you've noticed as a parent from your research specific to ADHD that's helped your kids.
Sleep. that also is something that I noticed in my kids, you know, when they were babies, really getting those naps. I mean, we were crazy. They had a 6:30 bedtime until they were probably 4 or 5 years old. 6:30.
How did you get them to go to bed at 6:30?
They would. They just would. And, you know, it's funny, if you know, we were ever out or something happened and, you know, they didn't go to bed till 8 or 9, they could not fall asleep. So it was that, like, they almost got overtired. I noticed that right away with them. And also, they get up early. So they get up at 6, no matter what time they go to bed. That's just who they are. And I'm waiting for those teen hormones to kick in so they will sleep past 6 o'clock, because they still do. You know, we go to bed at 10 for something now odd. They're up at 6, okay, no matter what. Also, the weighted blanket.
Oh,
was a godsend for us, because he would literally get up, you know, go to the bathroom 5 times. 5 or 6 times a night, like, you know, right away. He just could, and, it, you know, he just had to get up and kind of walk around and go back down, get up, walk around. But man, with that weighted blanket, he's out in 10 minutes.
Tell me about, you know, what they say is something about like 10% of the child's body weight is some of the things that I've read. Like my son, one that he took to college, and just because he weighed 130 pounds or something, I think his weight, his was 14 pounds, and it's awesome. Like, he loves it. Can you give listeners any feedback on like where you get weighted blankets and what your, I know you got a, you have a good person on your website.
I do. You know, so actually SensaCalm, Sensa, C-A-L-M, they have a really great website. And the thing that I loved about them is you can return it, because sometimes kids, you don't know if they need it a little bit heavier or if that's going to be too heavy. So on their site, they do have a, you know, chart or something that I went by. And I think his first, so we're on our second one now. Our first one was maybe 7 pounds.
Yeah.
And now we got one that's probably a little on the heavier side, but that's only because now I know he likes it. But now it's probably 12 pounds, and he's maybe 100 pounds now.
Well, can you also talk with me before we go? I wondered about food. You know, everybody's different, but I want you to share, what do you notice about the foods that your kids really do well with and what you eliminate?
So again, I think it was just me observing them. I think that my oldest is definitely much more sensitive to everything, to sleep, to food. You know, I kind of go by him. He is like a carb monster.
That's what these kids are. They are.
Granola bars and bread. He could exist on those things, literally. Granola bars and bread. Toast. But I notice when he eats that, everything is just off. Temper flares, hyper, constantly hungry, right? Because nothing is really like feeding him. Nothing is really... so that's what I noticed he will eat if I don't have other things, and, you know, really sugar too. And, you know, which those things are the same.
Yeah.
Really. So those are huge for us. I mean, sugar, I limit their sugar drastically. And, you know, now that they're getting older and they are not with me all the time, I notice that they binge when they're at a birthday party or a Cub Scout camp out or something. And I'm of the mindset where I really have to teach them and have them start noticing their own stuff. But, you know, they're really not there yet. I just don't think that they notice it in themselves quite yet. So, but we basically are gluten-free, corn-free, and corn is in everything,
right?
Any processed food has some bad corn thing in it, right? All the different sugars and the different corn starches and corn this and corn that. So we're gluten-free, corn-free. I don't want to say sugar-free because we have some, but it's very, very limited.
And is there something you want to share to parents before we go that you think I haven't touched on that really is important that you share about kind of what you're up to?
No, but you know, I think we all just really have to be honest and open. I mean, that's why I love your book so much, because it was so, it's just so great to hear that other people have been going through this and they get through it and it's okay. And, so that, you know, that's what, you know, I do too. I am far from the perfect mother, you know, so I don't want anyone to think that, oh, you know, she has a blog. Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, that is not me at all. We are all just trying to figure this out, right? We really are. And I think, you know, I really have to thank my kids also, because I am doing things that I would never, ever have ever done otherwise. I mean, I am like Mama Bear, and I go up to that school and I go right to the principal's office and I, you know, I say my thing, and I would have never have done that before. But I mean, it's incredible what you will do for your kids.
Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast, Finding Your Brilliance. My guest today was Beth Grushkin. If this topic speaks to you, please subscribe to my podcast. You can find out more about me at my website, kqadhdandyou.com. That's and and the letter U. Thanks for listening, and until we meet again, just remember that each of us have our own brilliance. Sometimes it just takes a while to find it.